You're listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
All right. Let's meet the Panthers. 14th in offense in the NFL. First in defense. They're only allowing 190 yards per game, if you can believe that. Fewest passing yards, fewest rushing yards, fewest points, fewest yards per play, and they lead the league in sacks. We were talking to Ben Wynn a little bit earlier, and he talked about like what Carolina likes to do. They like to blitz. Can you imagine Davis Mills facing that blitz tomorrow night against Carolina, the league that leads the league in sacks? Like they're gonna the script for the Texans is gonna be so like vanilla, in my opinion. Hand the football off. Quick reads for Davis Mills. Get rid of the football fast. Don't let anything where it takes long to have any sort of progressions. I don't think there's going to be any shot plays either. Like, they're going to be trying to protect Davis Mills at all costs because they know that the Panthers can get into the backfield quickly, and they don't really trust Davis Mills to sit in the pocket a long time against what is one of the best pass-rushing teams in the NFL.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing. A year ago, just like everybody else, and your man crush was just getting situated on the offensive side, Joe Brady. You had a brand new head coach in Matt Rhule. You also had a new defensive coordinator, and it took the defense a long time to get the schemes. Now they're picking it up, and not only that, now because of the draft and because of the way that they've handled their personnel, they've been able to add a whole lot of young talent that has been added to the mix, including a great, very, very bright futured cornerback in Horn, Joe Horn's kid, the former Saints receiver. They are going to give everything and more in terms of schematically and look-wise to Davis Mills to completely mess with his head on every single play. They're gonna make audibles late, then they're going to make them early. They're going to show him one thing and then completely change out of it right when he thinks he's got it figured out. They're going to wait till the clock goes off on the microphone in the headset so that when it gets inside of 15 and he can't have any help from the sidelines, that's when they're really going to go to work. And the players understand the philosophy of the coaching staff now, and they've got the young talent to execute it. That's where the biggest factors are going to be seen from this team. We know what they can do offensively because regardless of anything else, we know Christian McCaffrey is going to catch the ball, he's going to run the ball, and he's going to put up big yards doing both. What we didn't know a year ago that we know now is they not only have the right scheme defensively, but they have the right personnel to execute it, and that's where they are going to wreak havoc on this Texans offense.
If you were in Matt Rhule's shoes, like, I mean, you're off to a good start. You don't want your team to overlook the Texans. Thursday nights are hard in the NFL, especially for the visiting team. That's something to me that is tangible, and I think that's why the line hasn't really expanded as much as I thought. I think it opened at 7. I got it at 7.5. It's 8 now. I think it's still going to go up a point or two tomorrow. But Thursday night games are tough, especially for the road team. Like, what is the message, if you're Matt Rhule, that you're giving to your team?
Don't look past the Houston Texans. Don't overlook them. And I know that coming off a Sunday game that you guys are all still sore and it takes longer to recover and no one that plays the game likes these Thursday night games. But we got a chance to really set the tone for the rest of our season if we do what most people didn't think we could do this year by not overlooking the Houston Texans, by doing what we know we're supposed to do, which is hammer them, take care of business, step on their throats, and never give them a chance with a rookie quarterback to think that they're in the ball game or could win it. If we do that, the rest of our season and our future could look really, really bright because now people that wrote us off or overlooked us are going to pay attention. People are going to see that Sam Darnold, there's something to this, the fact that he had all the ability in the world, but changing coaches and offensive coordinators every single season has a detrimental effect on the performance of the most important position on the field. The fact that, like I mentioned, that their defense now is going to have to be noticed and schemed and planned for because they, as you said, are at the top of the league in doing what you're supposed to do defensively, which no one thought that they had the ability to do. So they have to be reckoned with unless they trip and fall and stumble on their own you-know-what, and the next thing you know, they're looking up going, what the hell did we just do? Who did we lose to? Who was their quarterback? How the hell could we build all this momentum and have all these people having all this positivity and then crap all over ourselves because we crapped the bed on Thursday night in Houston?
That's pretty close to what Matt Rhule had to say whenever he was describing the Houston Texans. And Rhule, he flat out said, look, we don't want to be complacent against the Texans whenever they face them. And you look at what Carolina has done so far this season. They're 2-0. They beat the Jets 19-14. Jets looked abysmal last week against New England. Jets looked better against Carolina than they did in week one. And then they beat up on injury-riddled, COVID-riddled Saints team 26-7 last week. Still don't know what they are as a 2-0 team, but here's what Matt Rhule had to say to the media when talking about the Texans.
When you have a ton of success, naturally, all of us, right? I always tell the guys the hardest thing to do in the world is not become the heavyweight champion, but stay the heavyweight champion, right? Like, you know, just when you have a ton of success, sometimes you can ease up. You know, at the end of the day, we've won two games. I mean, if what we did last week seems special, at the end of the season, we didn't have a very good season. So, you know, we try to be what's next, not as a slogan, but as a way of life. And so, and I think when you turn the tape on, it becomes instantly clear how good a team we're facing. I mean, when you watch their front seven, when you watch Justin Reed, when you watch Mark Ingram, you're like, okay, this is going to be one heck of a football game.
So there you go. I mean, pretty close to what you said. Now, the front seven for the Texans, I don't know if it's scaring
I don't think I'd ever
people.
Say that.
But, I mean, you're going to talk up your team. That's the coach speak. I mean, you're always looking for glimpses of the truth. And look, we don't want to be somebody that hangs our hat in the first two games of the season. You have to take an NFL team seriously. Tim Kelly, the Texans offensive coordinator, is talking about the Panthers defense, because this Panthers defense statistically so far, and again, 2 weeks, one against the Jets, the second one against the Saints with all their offense gone. He's impressed with what he sees, though, on film.
They're fast. They're fast, and they run to the ball at every level. They've got guys that can fly. They're two ends. I mean, are as good of a speed rusher as we've seen. Obviously, we saw two good rushers last week, but they're totally different. Got really good athleticism. They can bend. They've got good counter moves to the inside. Shaq runs all over the place. He runs and hits. The chin guy, you know, flies around. He's blitzing. He sticks his foot in the ground last year against Green Bay. Comes down and makes a play. Almost gets the ball out 17 yards downfield. Like, he's just all of them play really, really hard. You feel their team speed when you watch them play.
Here's the thing: when you hear that, it goes to what I said, and it starts with the head coach. You listen to what Matt Rhule said, aside from coach speak, you want to play for that guy. Yeah. And you like the way he goes about his business. And then when I said that, look, they finally grasped the scheme and now they got the players to execute it, that's exactly what Kelly's talking about. They've got young guys flying all over the field, playing every position with reckless abandon, but also not too reckless to get out of their scheme and their system, and therefore they're dangerous. That has all the reason why the Texans should be worried, and also all the reason why it's going to be tougher for Davis Mills.
It's interesting that we're talking about the defense first with this team. And look, defensively, their numbers are better through 2 weeks than their offense. Their offense kind of middle of the pack, although some of that's just the game flow of being up on New York, being up on the Saints last week. You're not going to really, you know, have your foot on the gas. You're going to be taking the air out of the ball a little bit. But offensively, best skill player in the NFL. David Culley thinks so. He thinks they have their hands full on Thursday.
Well, it's obviously that they're going to find ways to get him the football. If you just look at the two ball games he's played, when he's in there, there's a pretty good chance that during the series he's going to end up touching that ball, whether it's running the ball or them throwing the ball to him, simply because he's a tremendous player. He's one of the best players in this league at being multi-purpose at what he does, and they do an excellent job of putting him in situations to be successful, and they do a good job of doing that.
So C-Mac's going to be a handful for this Houston Texans front seven. We'll see if Matt Rhule's serious about how good the front seven is. I do like Matt Rhule. I think he's done a really good job in the college game. You know, doing what he did at Temple was outstanding, getting them to the top of the American Conference, being in an American Conference championship game. His job at Baylor was really good after Art Briles and the saga that was going on in Waco. And I think he's going to be a really good NFL coach. And I think he's got an underrated team here with Carolina.
No, he's already done a lot of good things. And the thing is just like you said, with his track record, he knows how to coach on every level with every job he gets, depending on when he gets his players in there and how soon he can get his players in there, even with Carolina. No one expected them to turn it around this quickly in Carolina. He knew he was getting into a situation that was going to be somewhat of a rebuild with an uphill battle ahead of him. And all of a sudden, we're talking about a team that has won their first two games. Regardless of what you say about COVID, that Saints team whooped the Green Bay Packers' ass. So now you're coming in with the same basic team on a roll, and you shut them down and basically sent a message to the league that, hey, if you didn't think about us before, you better start thinking about us now. And that's because it starts with the head coach. It's the overall philosophy. It's getting the right coordinators to run the right schemes to capitalize on the personnel. I mean, we should be talking about Joe Brady, no matter how much he likes to open up the offense, throw the football, and do things creatively. We better be talking about a coordinator that utilizes their best asset to its fullest in Christian McCaffrey. Coming off an injury or not, their chances of winning go way up when he gets more touches both out of the backfield, running the football and catching the football. So he's got the right guys to follow the lead that he's setting and the tone that he's setting for everyone, not only in the building, but in the city, and then how it translates across the league. But this is a guy that's going to do good things wherever he goes if he continues to do. Because now you don't have to worry about the NCAA and recruiting and all these other things. If I'm a player coming up on free agency and I hear that guy talk and he gives me that kind of coach speak, I'm all in.
What do you think the Texans front seven will do against Christian McCaffrey? And how about the Houston Texans handling this blitz that Carolina brings to the table? 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Coming up next, is Kyle Tucker the best hitter in baseball? It's Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN
92.5. Well, hello!
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Disappointed by your HR and payroll technology? Maybe you need to outsource your administration. Go to HRP.net to learn more. Now back to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Tucker sends one high in the air to right field. All the way back is Rojas looking up. Gone! Home run! Kyle Tucker drives one deep to right field. Home run 27, and the Astros lead this game 2-0.
Kyle Tucker yesterday with the Kyle driver on their way to the victory against the Angels. That the best hitter in baseball, Kyle Tucker?
Stop it.
I mean, you're just missing it like he's not even in the conversation, which
No. I'm answering your question. You didn't say, is he in the conversation?
Okay, is he in the conversation as the best hitter in baseball?
No, he's not. Could he be in the conversation for this year? Maybe he could. But, I'll flip it on you. All right. You got a chance to take one player for your team. You either take Kyle Tucker.
Okay.
Mike Trout.
We're talking for a single season or for the course of their careers? Like what's left of their career?
You got to pick one right now, best hitter in baseball. You got to pick one right now for you only get one shot,
well,
one
I'm going
opportunity.
Tucker over Trout. Trout can't play. He's hurt.
I'm talking about you're starting a franchise next season, okay? You only get one of these players. You only get a very small amount of choices. You get Vladdy Jr. You get Mike Trout. You get Shohei Ohtani. You get Fernando Tatis Jr. Or you get Kyle Tucker. Anybody taking Kyle Tucker? Anyone taking Kyle Tucker?
Well, I mean, there's the difference between being the best hitter and the best player. Because, I mean, Tucker plays an okay outfield. He plays solid right field. But I'm talking about just the hitting aspect of the game.
Can I just ask the question again? Is anyone taking Kyle Tucker?
Probably not. But I think he's in the conversation with those guys. Let me throw some numbers at you. He had an unlucky first month.
We're not conversing about it. We're making a decision for a franchise. Is anyone taking Kyle Tucker?
Mr. and Mrs. Tucker might.
Do they own a franchise?
Well, you gave me one. I figured they could have one too.
Well, I'm rebuttaling.
No,
your
I'm
whole...
not. The answer is no. I'm not gonna die on that hill. I'm not gonna like draw this out longer than it should. Here's the point, though. Kyle Tucker, he had an unlucky first month. Like he was crushing the cover off the baseball right into outs, lining out. Ever since then, and look, this is 376 at-bats, so this isn't like some small sample size. This is like four-fifths of the season here. Ever since then, he's hitting 324, on base of 383, slugging 604, 987 OPS. The batting average would be better than anybody else in baseball. If you take out the first month when Kyle Tucker was hitting into some bad luck, he would be your batting champion in all of Major League Baseball. His on-base, seventh in the league. Slugging would be fourth. OPS would be fourth. So, no, not the best hitter in baseball, but he's in the conversation if you look at it from the first month on.
But, you see, that's where people that listen with different orifices than their ears when they listen to this show is going to say that I don't like Kyle Tucker. No, I'm responding to your question and stating, no, he's not the best hitter in baseball.
Is he in the conversation for one of the best hitters in baseball?
This season, yes. I mean, he would be getting a whole lot more publicity if we weren't talking about a season of the ages for Shohei Ohtani because of what he's doing pitching and hitting.
Sure.
Or the fact that Vladdy Jr. is basically ripping the cover off of it and could win the Triple Crown.
Which, if he wins a Triple Crown, it's going to be hard for him not to be the MVP. Isn't that crazy?
It is, because I had this conversation with Dr. Dre on 290 about the fact that I was convinced a week ago Ohtani was going to win the MVP because of the fact that, much like when Russell Westbrook broke Oscar Robertson's triple-double record and averaged a triple-double for a season, it hadn't been done in 50-some years, that won the voters over. Well, because of Ohtani doing something that hasn't been done since Babe Ruth, he won the voters over, unless someone does something astronomical that's also big on the list of things to do to win an MVP, which is win a triple crown, and now you got to weigh which is bigger. So if those guys aren't having the seasons they're having, more and more people are noticing and talking about Kyle Tucker. But also because of the fact that Kyle Tucker has grossly underachieved up until the second month or so of this season, there's not a whole lot of people talking about Kyle Tucker.
Is that fair to say that he's grossly underachieved at this point of the season?
Ted Williams talk.
Well, I mean, that was
from the time they drafted him, and that he was going to be
he's 24 years old,
untouchable guy in your franchise that was going to turn it around and be this. You know, he's still not the best player on his team,
but he's 24 years old and going to be top 10 in MVP voting. Like, I wouldn't say that this has been a disappointment for Kyle Tucker in his career so far.
So far, he had been grossly disappointing.
I mean, what were you expecting him to be? Were you expecting him to be the batting champion from day one?
I'll tell you what I was expecting him to be. I'll tell you exactly what Blue Jays fans were expecting when they got Vladdy Jr., or when Padre fans got Fernando Tatis Jr., or with all these teams get a guy that's that highly acclaimed coming in that everybody's talking about that could be a franchise player. They were expecting within their first year and a half in the league that they were going to show you why everybody thought that way.
Kyle Tucker
wasn't able to do that.
Kyle Tucker was better in his second and third years than Vlad Guerrero was in his first and second years.
I'm talking about from the hype all the way to the performance. Everybody that has ever listened to me when we have these conversations, I've never said trade Kyle Tucker, but I've always said, for all the TED talk and how everybody, you know, over blew everything that he was supposed to be coming in, that it was about time that he starts performing. And the best thing he could do was be better than Josh Reddick, because taking over for him in right field, we got to start somewhere. But he wasn't even close to scratching the surface of what people expected when people were talking about Astros Kyle Tucker.
I mean, I don't expect a guy to come in at 22, 23 years old and be lighting the world on fire. He's 24 years old, going to finish in top 10 in MVP voting, and he had a better first 2 years of his career than Vlad Guerrero did in his first 2 years of his career. I think Kyle Tucker's been great, and if you look at it only this season, he's been great. I think he's going to be top 10 in MVP voting. And also, like you say that this season, like, he's not going to be great in the future.
No, I'm not saying it like that.
I'm just making sure.
I'm saying, whereas the other guys, you already know what you're getting for the rest of their career, barring injury.
For who?
For Trout, for Tatis Jr.
I mean, Trout's done it for a long time. Like, I don't know if we want to throw Trout into the young player conversation. Like, I think if you think Tucker, it's more Vlad Jr., Tatis, like some of the younger players.
I'm throwing Trout into the conversation because we were talking about the best hitter in baseball.
I mean, I meant that facetiously. Like, you're reading way too much into that.
I'm just saying this is what you threw at me, but I'm talking about, okay, so also from the standpoint going forward, I believe that the people that are judging conversations like this would say, I expect more, and I feel more confident that I will get more out of Tatis Jr., out of Vladdy Jr., take Mike Trout out if you want, put an Ohtani in there, put guys like that. I believe that more people have more belief in them for the length of their career doing this consistently than Kyle Tucker, because Kyle Tucker hasn't been that consistent. So I always look at that body of work when we analyze this, and unfortunately Texans fans go to Brock Osweiler. The sample size is small, but the results are great. And I'm saying, he's having a great three quarters of a season now, and he's done it great, what I've expected him to do earlier in his career. But I'm not saying I'm closing the door on the rest of his career.
No, I think that he has been consistent. If you look at what Kyle Tucker has done in his first two seasons, like whenever he came up, his first year, 2018-21, was not good. He got off to a horrible start, which isn't unexpected for a first-year player. Alex Bregman did the same thing for a while. 2 years ago, 2019, when he was 22, he hit 270, OPS of 857. Last year, the shortened season, 268 average, 837 OPS. Natural progression for a young player. And here he is at 24 years old, is going to be top 10 in MVP voting. I mean, I think he's exceeding expectations.
Jeremy, then you must have watched his
first couple
years.
I don't expect a guy to come in their first 3 years and be the best hitter in baseball.
But the hype train, the fan base, and other people do. And they see it from other players that were on the same projections. And they actually did it sooner and better and more consistently to be more believers.
No, Vladimir Guerrero did not do it better.
okay, that's the one thing you're going to hold your hat on. But I can tell you over and over again, guy after guy after guy, that came in with the hype of Kyle Tucker that did do it way better. Because of the fact that we all know as Astros fans, from what we had in terms of expectations for Kyle Tucker, he underachieved until this season. I'm the one that kept saying when everybody said, are you saying trade Kyle Tucker? I'm saying no, I'm not saying trade him. But at a certain point, you've got to live up to at least some of what everybody's billed you to be for this franchise. He's finally doing that. He still has a lot to prove going forward. I still don't have confidence like I would on some of these other players that he can do it for the rest of his career, but I'm hopeful.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Was Kyle Tucker a disappointment prior to this season? And what do you think Kyle Tucker is going to be going forward? Did you see the night that Conor McGregor had last night? He threw out the first pitch over at Wrigley. Here were the TV people at Marquee laughing at Conor McGregor's first pitch. They were laughing a lot about it. Did you see it, by the way,
I did.
Joel?
I did.
He blamed it on his leg after the fact.
Yeah, he basically said it hurt to throw.
Yeah, he said he's on one leg. So,
what was more painful, him throwing it or us having to watch it?
It was pretty bad. And then he sang Take Me Out to the Ball Game in the seventh inning stretch there at Wrigley. It was like one of their all-time bad seventh inning stretches of Take Me Out to the Ball Game. A Shams bomb. Did you see this? Minnesota Timberwolves parting ways with president of basketball operations, Gerson Rosas.
I got the text. I had to make sure it was public. I was going to say it next segment. I knew it before even Woj knew
it. The timing on this is questionable, right?
I told you guys from day one who Gerson was, and I told you all along that he was living off of Daryl Morey. And the Minnesota Timberwolves found out the hard way. They gave him a long-term deal at big-time bucks, thinking they were getting the next Daryl Morey, and they got sold a bill of goods.
But why fire him right now? Is he about to make a trade they didn't want him to make?
You know who one of the front runners for Ben Simmons was?
That's what I was thinking. That's the first thing that came to mind. Like, was he signing off on the Ben Simmons trade? Ownership's like, nope, that's not happening, and you're gone. We do not want you leading our organization.
Gerson ain't fooling anybody anymore, because if you go back to the job before this, before Daryl rehired him, he was in Dallas for 2 weeks. He was supposed to be president of basketball operations. Mark Cuban and Donnie Nelson thought they were getting the next Daryl. It took him 2 weeks to say, oh boy, we screwed this one up. Can we get out of this thing? I need a do-over. And they somehow worked it out so that they got it. After two of these, ain't no way he's getting another gig like that.
Yeah, he probably's going to go back to Philly, work with Daryl Morey, be part of their front office.
I would say you are more right than you. If you could say that half facetiously, I think you got something.
Kyle Tucker, ever since the first month of the season, leads all of baseball in batting average. Coming up next, I never knew Aaron Rodgers was so sensitive. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
This is Heisman Trophy winner and College Football Hall of Fame, Mike Rozier, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
All right. Do you see Aaron Rodgers going on Pat McAfee every Tuesday?
I did.
Which has turned to be quite entertaining. he's not a big fan of the media. He went on Pat McAfee yesterday and basically said everybody can kiss his butt.
It's absolute horseshit to give a platform to people who have no idea what they're talking about as far as my mental state and, you know, my focus, my work habits, people that have not been around me, they're not in my life, I don't have communication with them, or not in the locker room. I mean, that's just it's chicken, you know. It's so ridiculous that people get a platform to do this, and it's the same type of people. On the flip side of that, I think in this day and age of media, the things that get the most, it's all about clicks, right? And hits and views, and 1 second counts as a view. So the actually opinions that are garnering the most attention are the most outlandish.
So there's Aaron Rodgers. I think Aaron Rodgers tries to be the most interesting man in the room. Like, I see UFOs. I want to host
Jeopardy. Well, you know
who he's talking
about, right?
I want to be as cool as possible. No, I don't.
Okay, so Longhorn fans will know the name that I'm about to throw at you, Jermichael Finley.
Okay.
Jermichael
Finley.
Former
teammate of Rodgers.
Yeah, the former teammate. jumped on the anti-Aaron Rodgers bandwagon and got on a podcast and a couple of blogs and started telling who Aaron Rodgers really is and how he always wants to place the blame elsewhere. And so he also had other media members, I'm sure, in mind, but especially with for the clicks and trying to think you're a media member and get attention, that was his well-thought-out way
interesting
of getting back at JerMichael Finley.
That makes me feel a little bit differently about it now. I thought he was just like all of the people that have been talking about him, all of the like the negative comments, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I thought that that was the kind of what Aaron Rodgers was getting at. So he was taking shots at JerMichael Finley.
JerMichael Finley in part. I mean, look,
well,
there
why
were
not
also
just say his name, though?
Because that's not who Aaron Rodgers is either, right? It's the whole Deshaun Watson like thing, though. Right? Like, everybody in Deshaun's camp's going to tell you how he feels, but not Deshaun. This is the same reason why Aaron Rodgers handled the whole offseason completely wrong with how he's tried to be coy, didn't want to say too much. Was he going to retire? Was he not? We didn't know how he really felt, but we knew he wasn't happy. You know what? It was hearing all these little clues. Stop making us play board games and just call it what it is. Yeah. Tell us what's going on. It's the easier way. They could have gotten resolution to this one way or another and ended up exactly where they are now, halfway through the summer or before that, if they could have just had an honest player tell an organization how he was really feeling.
Yeah.
Then sort it out.
I think he likes the attention a little bit. I think he likes being the most interesting man in the room, the smartest man in the room. And look, I like Aaron Rodgers, but yeah, he was on McAfee yesterday, had that to say. I guess it was a little special meaning behind it. Vic Fangio, the head coach of the Broncos, they're playing Jacksonville this weekend. And Fangio said this about Urban Meyer. Meyer told Vic Fangio that the NFL is like facing Alabama every week. A little taste of reality there a little bit for Urban Meyer.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I'm not sold on Vic Fangio as a head coach. You know how I feel about Urban Meyer. I mean, the hype train, and you can try and hype up a game and a matchup, and you can talk about a whole lot of things, but
they played last week, by the way.
Or last week, yeah. I mean, I'm sorry. Yeah, but at the same time, I'm looking at both these guys, and I'm just going, really? Like, Urban Meyer, to me, should take the USC job. Because it's the only way that he can actually escape a job that I felt like it's too big for him. Just because he got away with, look, whether you want to believe all of it, some of it, there's always truth somewhere in the middle when you hear about him at Florida, right? From Aaron Hernandez to otherwise. All the stuff at Ohio State, from his assistant coaches and what they did to what he tried to make sure that they took the blame for, to the fact that he said one thing and made it a big story about his health when you heard it was about his wife and other things, and there were all kinds of other things going on. But all along the way, he did let Joe Burrow get away. I mean, there's lots of things along the way, too, that he gets credit for, but he doesn't get a whole lot of fingers pointed at him, and he likes it that way because in college football, you can manipulate the system when you're the king. In the NFL, there are guys in the locker room that make more money than you. And so, therefore, from the strength coach he hired that he had to fire because of his misdoings at Iowa, to all the ways that he has done it, done people, coaches, and otherwise, you can do that in college. You can't get away with that in the pro game, and there's no faking. It's the Gerson Rosas situation. You can't fake it in the pro game. And I think that sooner or later, the Jags are going to figure it out. So there's an out for both if he wants to take the SC job.
Derrick Henry won the AFC Player of the Week, had three touchdowns offensively. Then you had Kyler Murray win the NFC Offensive Player of the Week. I like Kyler Murray.
Boy, you sure do.
I like him a lot. Second best quarterback in the NFL.
Oh, my God. Now, please tell me that's tongue-in-cheek, because otherwise we got a whole other discussion to have. But
I'm talking about, like, long-term. Like, I don't think this season, like, Kyler Murray is going to be better than, let's say, like Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady. But let's put it, like, at a 5-7-year window.
Patrick Mahomes, don't forget about him.
That's why I said second best, not first best.
Right. So you're Pat saying Mahomes, other than Pat Mahomes, Kyler Murray will be the next best quarterback
next
in the NFL
for the next
5 to 7 years?
Yeah, the next 5-7-year window. I'm not sure I'm picking anybody ahead of Kyler Murray.
I'm going to make sure you remember you said that.
Who are you putting ahead of him?
I mean, I'm just, first of all, we don't know who's coming down the pike either, but I mean, just from looking
at...
Well,
currently in the league. That's a fair point by you, but I mean, currently, right now, I'm not putting anybody ahead of Kyler Murray. The obvious answer here is Josh Allen. Josh Allen, these first 2 weeks, he's like reverting back to two seasons ago.
I think Josh Allen started to pay a little bit too much attention to all the people that were pumping him up for MVP and thought he was a little better than he was. Because when he came in, we all knew he was athletic. He can run. He was big. But passing was an issue. And all of a sudden, he's trying to do too much and trying to throw a ball where it doesn't need to be thrown. And suddenly, he doesn't look a whole lot like an MVP candidate. But I think that there's enough talent in this league, top to bottom, for the next 5 to 7 years, that Kyler Murray still, as I've said, look, he had a great week last week. I'm not trying to take player of the week honors away from him, but I'm definitely not telling you he's the second best quarterback going forward for the next 5 to 7 years, because I saw Kyler Murray get more credit for a catch on a Hail Mary that DeAndre Hopkins caught last year.
Had to put it there.
Are you his PR guy and his hype man?
No, he's just going to be the second best quarterback in 5 to 7 seasons.
He made more plays with his legs than he did his arms, and a lot of the plays that he made with his arm, he basically just threw it up there and guys went and got it. I'm not trying to say he's a crap quarterback, but I'm not willing to say he's the second best quarterback in the league going forward for the next 5 to 7 years.
Did you see this better that got a $25 free bet? Yeah. He bet every game in the NFL. He hit the first 15 legs. All he needed was the Lions to beat the Packers on Monday Night Football, which, what was he thinking, by the way? He could have won, what, $795,000?
Didn't he take the money line on it?
Yeah, he had the money line. He took money line on all of these games and hit them all. Hit every single one of them. Took Lions money line for the final game. Would have won $795,000. I think he made a deal with BetMGM, but they bet him the first 15 legs. He got $133,000 to cash out before the Monday Night Football game. So he still made out pretty good with that $25 bet. Well, I think he and MGM made a deal, because I bet you he was trying to hedge it and try to figure out how to hedge
absolutely.
It. And then MGM was like, how about we just pay you out $133,000? We can get the publicity out of this. You don't have to worry about moving around money. Let's just call it good. Let's call it good. So you got $133,000 for hitting the first 15 legs on a $25 free bet.
If I'm looking at, I have Green Bay to win that game on Monday night, I'm rolling the dice.
Yep.
But because I had Detroit at Lambeau coming off a lamb-based thing by the Saints, I'd have taken – look, this is like the game show when they say, we'll give you this munch to buy out now. I am out. Thank you very much. Have a great life.
Six figures, I'm taking it. Bye-bye. Let's go to the HRMP listener line real quick. John, you're in the high with the Killer Bees.
Hello, guys. Happy hump day. How y'all doing today?
Happy hump day to you.
All right. Hey, I got a question for y'all, or not a question. I want to say like a month ago, someone offered the Texans some draft picks for Deshaun, a first, and maybe another first, and a second or a third or whatever, just in case he does get those charges put on him. What if he does get those charges put on him and we don't end up getting nothing? Like, what then? Are we just screwed or what? Like, what? What's going to happen? Thank you. Have a good day.
Appreciate the call, John. Yeah, I think the Texans would just be screwed.
Yeah.
I think that's it. I think they would just be screwed. So, yeah, if you're a Texans fan, you should be watching what's going on in those civil cases. Not that there's any new news, but, yeah, I'd be paying attention to that very closely. And that was our Deshaun Watson obligatory conversation of the day. Got to get it in. Got
to
get our
happen,
Deshaun
right?
Watson quota.
Can't escape it.
I can't believe we got all the way to 242.
I did it too, though. I said because he has his people talk for him and he quotes rap lyrics instead of just telling us how he really feels.
I did it earlier too whenever we talked about Tua. All right, coming up next, am I un-American? Skiller Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, I want to tell you about the good people at Apollo Men's Health. Look, I've been telling you about Dr. O and his staff. Doc used to work at other clinics. And then he realized that they were doing a lot of things that were just wasting people's time and money and weren't getting them the results they needed. So he decided he's going to take the big leap and he was going to do it his way by opening up his own clinics. He's got two clinics near downtown Houston to better serve you. And he takes care of people every step of the way. I go there weekly. And I told them from the time that I sat down with them, I answered their honest questions with honest answers. They were tough, but I answered them. And I told them where I wanted to get, what I wanted to do. And they got me results because they put me on a program and a plan. And they can do the same thing for you. Men and women, if you're interested in hormone therapy because you don't have the energy you once had, they can help you from the boardroom to the bedroom to the weight room. What are you looking to do? What are your goals and objectives? And then how quickly do you want to get there? And they'll set you on the right path. They did it for me. They can do it for you too. The hormone therapy for men and women, it's available by going into the office weekly. You can actually do cutting edge pellet testosterone therapy for men. You only have to go in once every 6 months, but you still get all the benefits. If you want to learn how to do it and administer it at home, they can teach you how to do that too for both men and women. So there's that. You want to just get more energy? Try the B12 shot like I take. I found immediately that I had more energy during the course of my week, and that's why I continue to do it. If you want to recover quicker, they have HGH peptide therapy. If you want to start a workout program, they can monitor and chart your results, starting with your full body composition analysis, which happens by just standing on a scale with a few handlebars you hold on to, and it charts everything for your starting point. And then every time you go in weekly, it tells you the progress you've made, your body fat's at this, it was at that, your weight, your cholesterol, all these other things. They do great work, and it starts with you making that first appointment. Go to ApolloMH.com, and when you do, you're going to find out most major insurance is accepted, discounts for military personnel and first responders. And then mention my name, Joel Blank. You get that B12 shot free on your first visit, and then go in, answer their questions honestly, and see what I'm talking about. Your health is your wealth. Invest in yourself. Check them out today. It's the good people at Apollo Men's Health.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. You're listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
All right, am I un-American? Here's what I mean. Yeah, you don't even know what I'm going to say, and you're already saying yes.
You already said it. You said all you had to say.
What makes you think I'm un-American?
You don't even know what I'm going to say. It's the last segment. We don't have enough time.
All right, so I was on mybookie.ag the other day. And look, you're a golf guy. I'm a golf guy. I love the Ryder Cup. And I like good value as well. So I'm looking at the plays for the Ryder Cup. Europe is getting double their money. They're plus 200 to win the Ryder Cup. They usually win this thing. I know it's on foreign soil in Wisconsin, not so foreign to Joel Blank.
No.
But I thought the European team plus 200, just unbelievable value. So I made a play on Team Europe to win the Ryder Cup. I did it. I'm a little embarrassed about it. Like, after I made the bet, I was like, oh, my goodness, I shouldn't have done this. But I was just in that.
I could see Patrick Reed doing that because he has reason to do it. But I don't know that
he'll be on the bench
tomorrow. Doing that.
I know. I felt dirty doing it, too. I felt dirty doing it. After I did it, I was like, I can't believe I just did that. Because I like to get fired up about the Ryder Cup. I have a Team USA hat and everything.
Well, you can't wear it now.
I know.
I mean, you did it to yourself.
I almost instantly...
The self-inflicted wound.
But the value's so good there, right? Like, they
Listeners,
always win
notate
this.
Notate this, because we aren't letting this one go if USA wins this thing. Just
here's,
notate this.
Here's the good news, because mybookie.ag is, like, really good at what they do. They have a boost the odds bet for Team USA, kind of like the first blood boost the odds bet on that.
Yeah.
So I was able to middle it a little bit.
So you're already wavering.
So I bet I took advantage of the boost the odds on Team USA after the fact. So I made a bet on Team USA. I still come out way ahead. It's like a free roll now for me. Like, it's basically a free roll. Like, I'm going to get my money back if Team USA wins, and if Europe wins, lunch on me.
Did you have him tap dance any further, or did
what
he
does
do
that mean? What tap dance did I pull?
You,
I took advantage of a free roll, kind of like this
made
better
your bet, and then basically used the last 3 minutes to explain how you covered your ass.
Well,
with
I got lucky because mybookie.ag does a tremendous
a great
job.
Place.
You should check them out.
Yeah.
Is that not great value, though? Plus 200 on Team Europe? 713-780 ESPN. Am I un-American? 713-780
The wheelhouse is not going to take a whole lot of unwanted calls because of your faux pas. Yeah. But hey, by the way, Cody's here.
Call the wheelhouse and let them know how stupid I am. Cody Stutes of the wheelhouse joining us now. He'll be on 3 to 7. Am I un-American?
Un-American? You're un-Houstonian with that Tennessee Oilers shirt
this
on?
This is the
I told
old
them
oil
that.
Derrick.
I told them that.
This ain't un-Houstonian.
Yeah, but
this is Houstonian
shirt.
To
You're
the
supporting
team.
The
this
Tennessee
isn't a
Oilers.
New shirt. This is an old shirt.
No, it's not.
I've had this for like 3 months.
Yep, and guess what?
Yeah,
the NFL came out this year with that shirt that way in honor of Tennessee's Throwback Week, which is this weekend.
Oh, right
in
which pockets.
You all the old Oilers are coming to Tennessee this weekend.
It's a,
Dan
it's a
Pastorini.
Bad time for that
if
shirt.
If you think that this shirt is not Houstonian, you're an idiot.
Well, talk to
you're
Tennessee.
An idiot.
You bet on Europe. You're an idiot.
They just
they're going to win. What about if they win?
You're
they
still an
tweeted,
idiot.
Tennessee
you're un-American.
Just tweeted out.
I did
love
see that.
Your blue, love two-tone blue. Shaking hands.
Yeah.
I'm a way bigger Oiler fan than I'll ever be a Texan fan. So, I'm just going to have to deal with that. If that means I'm a Tennessee fanboy, it's what you got.
Pretty much what it is, right?
It's what
Coach?
You got.
That's how I feel.
Yeah. I mean, it's an oil derrick. It's a Houston Oiler derrick. There's no oil in Tennessee and Nashville.
The last
you kidding
time,
me?
The last time we saw the derrick, it was on a Tennessee Oiler helmet.
I know. And it will be this weekend, I think, too. So.
Yeah.
I don't care. This shirt's great.
So you're voting for you're just a big Titans fan this week.
Somebody just texted me and said I'm a hack with an Oiler shirt. This is not a good moment for me. This is a bad 5 minutes.
You're taking some big hits.
You
here.
In the life
you
of Jeremy
Brown. Coming up on the wheelhouse?
Yes, I do. Help me out here.
I mean, you just Texas two-stepped for almost 6 minutes now, just all over yourself. So enjoy the ride.
Yeah.
Embrace the suck, as we say. Just embrace it, baby.
No, he's over here trying to front run. The Titans are a better spot than the Texans.
I'll wear it.
But from a Houston radio personality standpoint, embrace the suck. You ain't making a lot of people happy right now.
Tennessee Jeremy.
Yeah, what's up on the wheelhouse?
get to that quickly.
My good buddy Nick Wilson, who covers the Panthers, does radio out in Charlotte. He's going to come on. I got to ask him, when does Sam Darnold turn back into a pumpkin? That's all I want to know from him. We got a bunch of other fun stuff planned, which 1-1 team is more impressive than the 2-0 teams in the NFL.
You think that Davis Mills gets into a chariot, or is he going to be the pumpkin?
There might be double pumpkin action tomorrow night.
What? Halloween comes early. Yeah, Thursday night football from NIT.
I got their promo. There you go.
Channel 2's doing a whole pregame show. That's the way they should bill it.
I don't know if I want to dive too much into X's and O's knowing that tomorrow's game day, but I'm going to do it anyways. It's already been a bad 5 minutes. What's the biggest fear from like a Texans perspective against this Carolina team?
That those wide receivers just run past the DBs.
See, that's a good one, too. I'm going with the defense. Like, the pass rush getting to the quarterback so fast. Davis Mills didn't see a lot of blitz yet last week in the second half. Cleveland was rushing four a lot. They were stunning a lot, but they weren't blitzing him a lot. Like, we haven't seen Davis Mills in an NFL regular season game against a good blitz. And we're going to see that tomorrow.
Most blitzes in the NFL through two games for Carolina?
Lead the league in sacks. Well,
and now they got the personnel. Last year, they were confused with the scheme and the everything coming in new. Now they got young guys flying all over the field that are going to completely mess with Davis Mills' mind on every single play, and that's where I think the game will be completely decided is the fact that Carolina's just going to absolutely mess with his mind on every single down.
That's where we're going to talk about it today on the Wheelhouse. Tim Kelly comes in and how Tim Kelly can't do too much, but he has to do a lot.
That's a great way of putting that. I see where you're at on that. I agree completely. And I think we saw it in Cleveland. I think we saw it on one drive in Cleveland. I think they dumbed it down for Davis Mills
enough.
We talked
about earlier in the show when I said that he's actually got to be the ultimate game manager, and Tim Kelly has to
manage every single game manager?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I was just making sure what I heard.
What'd you think he said? Game manager?
I don't know what I heard. I was just making sure.
Do you want to go back to the start of this segment? Because we can review what we've already heard.
This is not one that I'm saving the tapes on.
I feel like I need to get out of here.
I am. Also, by the way, do you think, just real quickly, do you think Kyler Murray is the second best quarterback in the NFL for the next 5 to 7 years?
Oh, no.
Okay. Pat Mahomes, obvious answer. That's Who else are you going?
Yeah.
Think about it long and hard. Josh Allen, is he better?
Lamar.
See, I'm not going there. I don't trust Lamar throwing. Here's a good one. Justin Herbert.
Oh, for sure.
Justin Herbert's solid. I don't know if I'm picking him over Kyler over the next 5 to 7 seasons, but I do like Justin Herbert a lot.
You don't think Dak Prescott's going to be along for 5 to 7 years?
See, that's another good one. He's in the conversation because I do like Dak a lot too. Yeah. So I mean that's probably we're probably missing one. That's probably like the core five in that discussion. But I mean, Kyler's
Brady,
really good.
Is he ever going away?
He might make it to 50. You never
not
know.
Bad,
Brady.
Yeah. Not bad. All right, we'll be listening, Cody. Great job as always, and check him out with Jake.
Where do you
Asman,
use the tall chair today?
Brad Kellner and Jake. Jake Asman saying on our Twitch channel, Jake is invading our Twitch, calling
he
me that I might as well
time.
Be rooting for ISIS because I bet it Team Europe. If you are a Team American fan, and why wouldn't you be? Bryson DeChambeau, Brooks Koepka.
They had dinner last night.
Bryson said there's not a feud between the two of them.
Bryson, have you made efforts to end the feud with Brooks? And if so, how's that gone?
Again, a lot of this social media stuff has definitely been driven by a lot of external factors, not necessarily us two. I mean, we had some great conversations Tour Championship week when we had dinner, and then this week as well. I had dinner, sat down at dinner with him last night, and it was fine, and I think there may be something fun coming up here moving forward.
You know, they're
won't speak too much more on that.
You know, they're on opposite ends of the table. I mean, it's a big team. They're definitely on opposite end of the table. I like what he said there at the end, though, right? There's going to be something coming up here in the near future that they're not going to announce yet. This is like old wrestling.
Just cashing in.
Exactly.
This is
like
we
wrestling
just talked
when
about
you sign the hot name and you save it for pay-per-view.
Boxing and what they need to do to compete with the Paul brothers and all of the hype fights that we've been dealing with. This is what golf is trying to do, too. This is the same reason why they're giving these players cash incentives to get more clicks, more followers, more tweets, more interaction. It's because they're trying to take golf to the next level and make sure they don't fade away.
Who's a bigger D, Brooks or Bryson? I don't know if I like either one of them.
I'm agreeing with that. You and I have had these text conversations. I don't know that I'm a fan of either one of them, but I think that at least Brooks handles pressure and things without losing his cool, where Bryson kind of, the minute he gets in a tight situation, he gets kind of bitchy boy. Although I don't like Brooks Koepka basically crapping on the whole Ryder Cup for him.
See, again,
that's right. I don't like either one of them.
There's some unrest.
But I'm definitely betting on both of them to beat Team Europe.
There's some unrest.
I wouldn't be taking Team Europe, for God's sake.
There's some unrest in Team USA. Plus two. That value is too good to pass up. I also got plus 350 if they win by 1 or 3 points. All right, I'm going to go regroup.
We'll go live in Europe.
I'm going to go regroup and look for houses in Europe. All right, thanks to Dell for doing all the hard work. He's Joel. I'm Jeremy. The Will House is next. Talk to you tomorrow, Houston.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5.